This is my daddy, Sermon. Hope you like all the stories about me. Enjoy it. I'm Joy.
God, may we be stirred deeply in our gifts and our calling today. May we walk out of the doors different people. And all God's people said, my life would never be the same after October 15th, 2005. After 9 months of pregnancy and 15 hours of valiant labor, my wife gave birth to our son, Trey. And minutes after he was born, I held my boy in my arms with tears streaming down my face. Because I was different. I had this sense that from this moment, everything was new. I was no longer Dale the son, Dale the husband, Dale the student, Dale the pastor. I was Dale the father. It didn't sound quite right. Dale the dad. That sounded much better, but didn't get me off the hook. I now had a new identity and a calling. Stacy and I now had the Herculean task of raising, nurturing, providing for, dreaming with, laughing with this little boy. We had the task of planting him in places where he could truly grow. The task of watering him with love and encouragement. The task of mulching, providing and helping him the ups and downs of life. And then that task of pruning, that essential discipline that we all need to become all that we were created to be. With the hopes that one day, our little boy, my son, would bloom, would become all that we had hoped for him. It only took a few short days to realize that we were going to need help. A lot of help. And I wonder when the last time is that you ever held a baby in your arms. When the last time is that you heard a child cry and were able to respond and meet their needs. When the last time that the laughter and pure joy of children put a smile on your face. Because all of us are called when it comes to children. Mothers, uncles, brothers, sons, sisters, cousins, grandparents, and friends. Every time a new baby is born, we have a community responsibility to help that child to bloom. We are all called when it comes to children. We are all given a new identity and calling. And in the very same way, the letter to the Ephesians is working to show us that we also have a new identity and calling with God. Everything is different now. New possibilities are bursting forth into our world. And so, we are called saints. We are full and fulfilling life. We are given all that we need for a full and fulfilling life. Spiritual blessings are all around us. We are adopted as sons and daughters. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are restored. We are made alive in Christ. God is working within every single one of us to make us bloom. We now have peace as the anthem in our lives and in our homes. We are reconciled. We have direct access to God. And we are home. We are home in God's family, the church, the community, the people of God in the world. Our faith ancestors, the early Christians, were convinced that Jesus brought about a new paradigm in human existence. Jesus offers us a new identity and calling, change from within, and an invitation to act. And in the passage for today, the very first verse, with all of this great history of this new identity and calling, after three chapters in Ephesians, the verse reads, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The word calling in the Greek is kaleo, and it means to invite or to summon something. One way of thinking about calling, it happens two times in the first passage, and then two more times as the passage goes on. One way to think about this calling is that a calling is a divine invitation to move beyond the mundane to something more. But it's also an invitation to see something more in the mundane. We are all called. But then the passage tells us that our lives are to be lived worthy. Now that's a strange word. The Greek word is axios, and the word comes from the ancient marketplace. So if you see the picture up above, every ancient reader would have, when they heard that word worthy, they would have thought about the marketplace, the place where they go to get their produce, and maybe if they were lucky, some fish or some meat, where they would get their vegetables, where they get their spices, their flour, and their grains. And on the one side, you would place the grains. And on the other side, you would place a lead weight. And when it balanced, it was called worthy or fit. The early Christians invite us to think about our identity that has been given to us, redeemed, forgiven, holy people, our calling, whatever it is you've been asked to do, and all the gifts to make that happen. And then for us, to stand on the other side of the scale. This passage is a challenging call to ask ourselves, is our life lining up with all that God has done for us? In other words, does the life you are living match up with your calling, your new identity? The question hits us in the gut. Am I fit or worthy? When my son was 3 years old, my new identity and calling would be put to the test. Stacy was invited to hang out with some girlfriends for the weekend, so I was on full-time daddy duty. And we had a great weekend planned, fun things we were going to do. But the morning, the first event of the day was to go to a little kid's birthday party, one of Trey's friends. And so I was excited. I was ready to live a worthy life in my new calling as a dad. And so I was preparing eggs for breakfast and I was preparing toast. And as I put the toast down, and I also decided that I would make a blueberry strawberry smoothie just for me and my boy to enjoy together. And I set Trey on the countertop right next to the blueberry smoothie. Mistake number one. And then as the eggs were getting ready, I threw on some cheese and the meal was getting ready, feeling pretty good about this dad role, right? Wrong. All of a sudden, the smoothie's done. I take off the lid. The toast is done. I grab the toast and Trey, the little three-year-old, pushes his finger on the smoothie and bam, we have what I call a blueberry blizzard in our house. The blueberry blizzard went everywhere on our white countertops. And by this time, I wish I could tell you that I composed with utter peacefulness and handled the situation. But no, I was furious inside. And as fast as I could, I went to the task of cleaning up the kitchen and changing our clothes and getting us ready, getting us into the car and ready for the birthday party. And of course, by this time, we're running late. And by this time, we pull up to the house and Trey informs me that he has an accident. Does dad have a diaper bag handy? No, he does not. So we make the call. Are we going to go into the house or are we just going to go home? So we went into the house and luckily we had Grandma Greeter at the door. Grandma was tuned in to the whole world of dads and automatically took Trey from my hands. There was a supermom present who had extra change of clothes. There was a college-age next-door neighbor who took Trey after he was changed and played with him and loved him. And there was a dad who handed me a plate of food and said, "Don't worry, it gets better." When we have a new identity and calling, it's the toughest thing you're going to do. A new job, a new ministry that's always been calling you, a commitment to a Bible study at church, a commitment to a new relationship, commitment to being a good dad or mom. A new calling and identity is tough, but the community is there to support you. And that's why the verse says this: with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The passage reminds us that our callings have their grounding, their strengthening within community. And a community without callings can't bloom, can't flourish to the fullness of what it's possible. Community is the place we dream and discern with one another. We cook and clean with one another, and we share one another compassion. The passage then bursts into poetry. One body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is above all, working through all, and in all. The passage reminds us that God is the sustainer and creator of our community life. God, through community, plants us, waters us, mulches us, and prunes us so that we can bloom. The winter of 1955 was cold and long. Rosa Parks had spent all day as a seamstress, and she was tired. As she went to take the bus home that day, she decided enough was enough. And she said no. She said no to the racial segregation and economic exploitation. And she set an example for the entire African community, for all of America, to embrace their God-given identities and callings and to transform the world. As the story goes, later on that year, a young pastor, the age of 26, with a PhD, named Martin Luther King Jr., used eloquent, stirring words to plant America at where they should go, to water us, to mulch us, and to prune us from ways that we had lived that were not in line with God's dream for this world. Martin Luther King Jr. lived a worthy life for the calling he received. Rosa Parks lived a worthy life for the calling that they received. And from their example, they nourished generations to come on what it meant to bloom. Now, not every one of us can be a Rosa Parks or Martin Luther King Jr. Not every one of us has that identity and calling. But we have gifts, real and tangible gifts that can transform our world. We have the gift. In Ephesians, the passage moves on to say, some are gifted to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. There's other gifts in the New Testament as well. One list says, the gift of giving and leadership and mercy and prophecy, service and teaching. The gift of administration, apostle, discernment, faith, healing, helps, knowledge, miracles, wisdom, and hospitality. These lists are not meant to be exhaustive. They're meant to start the conversation on how God has gifted the community of faith, the people of God, to transform the world. The passage ends reminding us the purpose of these gifts. Why we have been given this new identity and calling is for the equipping of the saints for good service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come to unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, becoming people of character to the full stature of Christ. People who bloom and who set an example to their community and to their world. This place, in this community, we are about raising people who bloom to the fullness of Christ. The winter concert had finally come. She had practiced for hours upon hours. She had mastered her pieces. Everyone was in that small elementary school auditorium. Mom and Dad sat in the front row. Dad was nervously tapping his feet. Mom was biting her nails. Grandma and Grandpa were in the back with the tripod, not wanting to miss one thing. The beloved aunt stepped into the door late after a long and full day just to see her niece. Turns out everyone was there. The next door neighbor had come. Some church friends were there. All of these people were there. All of these people had planted this young girl in a music gift that she could hopefully bloom in. They watered her with words of encouragement and love. They mulched her, kept her away from the highs and lows of life, or was present to her in those highs and lows. And then they helped her with the pruning, taught her the essential discipline that would become necessary to become a great musician. The curtain came out. The conductor rose. They put themselves up, the reed in her mouth. When we find our calling and identity, there are real fears. Strong fears that we fight. What's your clarinet? What's your calling? What's that still small voice saying to you? The passage today is telling us you have a new identity. You are called. You are gifted. You are all ministers. So bloom. So my name is Dale, and this is my gift, and I hope to be around here for a very long time.
Bravo, bravo.